Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome to yet another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and we're still virtual. We're not back in our normal spot inside Renaissance Bank in Alpharetta, but we're looking forward to getting there hopefully sometime soon. But in the meantime, even though you're not able to just walk into the bank branch there at Renaissance, visit your friendly banker there, you can make an appointment and set up a time to see someone face-to-face. And you're going to want to do that if you want a more personal experience with your bank. So check them out. Go to renaissancebank.com and find your nearest office. They've got over 200 across the South waiting and ready to serve you. And they have done tremendous work on with small businesses on PPP loans and what have you. And I know that personally. Folks. So check them out. RenaissanceBank.com is the website. Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And now I want to welcome Kevin Hill. Kevin is with Agigo Communications. Kevin, welcome.
How you doing, John? Thank you for having me, and I appreciate it.
Well, I'm delighted to have you. So tell us a little bit about you and Agigo Communications. So what does that stand for? What do you do? How do you serve folks out there?
Well, Agigo stands for I Got It Going On Communications.
I love it.
And the way we serve people, it's my wife actually came up with the name. And it's hard to say, so people have to ask you questions after that. So
that's good.
I've had a bunch of business consultants telling me to change it, and I'm like, nah, I'm going to keep it. I kind of like the fact that you have to ask me something.
Yes, I like it.
So what we do at Agigo is we are a connection company, and not in the sense of, we're not a wireless company. We're a connection company in that you as a business or organization need to stay connected to your audience, team members, constituents, whatnot, so that you can drive that sales funnel. I mean, it's just another part of marketing. So what we do is we're a live streaming production company. So if you have a conference back in the old days before COVID, if you had a standard conference, we would come in and live stream conferences. We do a lot of governmental live streaming with task force meetings, educational live streaming with continuing education and graduations. We do any event that you want to get out to the masses. That's what we produce. And so we produce those events. So that your people who can't be in attendance can also have that experience of enjoying it and also hopefully use that as a platform for the next time you do it. They'll want to be in attendance, in person.
You really touched on this a little bit, Kevin, but there are some folks that don't know really what live streaming is versus, making a video. And the technology that allows that. I mean, what be specific on what live streaming is for those that for whom this term is brand new to them.
Gotcha. Live streaming is basically, and I put this where the ghost can get it. Think of a TV station. And that TV station has a satellite transponder. Well, live streaming, your satellite transponder is the internet. And as the internet gets faster and more people have more connectivity, then you can have your own TV station, your own TV program, everything from live streaming. So it's different in a traditional video sense that, you have 3 minutes, 10 minutes to catch somebody's eye and give them the gist of what your company does or your business does or your organization does. But in live streaming, you're almost in real time. And you also have a component there where the people who are watching that live stream can also chat with you via chat functions. You can have a hashtag where you can get immediate feedback from people watching. So live streaming is video on steroids, I say, because you can affect people in real time, whereas videos will live on and on, and live streaming, does it that way. hopefully that gives you a good definition of live streaming. Yeah. But I always like to think of that TV studio situation because it is the exact same thing. You have to have cameras, the audio, the backbone, which is that internet connection, which is so important. And then, you know, you just have to cater for that audience watching because it's a different experience watching a live stream versus being in person somewhere. So you have to know the difference between that and bringing those people into that live streaming environment.
Yeah, I love that. And I want to get to that in just a second. But in let's keep up that TV analogy, transmitter analogy, which helps an old guy like me understand it. So thank you.
No problem.
The recipients of that signal, I take it, are various social media channels. I mean, where do where does that signal end up? What television sets does my signal end up on, if you will?
Those usually nowadays end up on a cell phone.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, in most people who watch live streams are either on a mobile device, cell phone, tablet, but you can send it to social media sites like a Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, Periscope, or you can send it to your own website to where you control the content. Because let's face it, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and all those are free services, but they have a little bit of control over what your content is. And I say that in like the most egregious one is music copyright. Mm. So if you do a live stream and you have a bunch of music playing or you have one song playing, all those free sites have bots that kind of listen for these things and they may ding you. Now, when I say ding, you'll get your live stream through as long as you're not a DJ. Some of those have been ding like crazy, but they'll stop your stream. Mm. But if it is after your stream is over, they'll let you continue. But after your stream is over, those videos should be able to populate those social media sites. And with the consideration of music, they kind of put you in jail. It's copyright jail. Mm. So that's what when people say, oh, I want to go to Facebook, I let them know that, you know, those are free, but they have some limitations. Now, if you want complete control of your content, like I said, you can send it to a private CDN, which CDN stands for Content Delivery Network. And that's all Facebook, YouTube, that they're CDNs too. But if you want complete control, you have to get your own CDN, which is, it's not free. It's not too terribly expensive either, but you have to be mindful of certain things like how many people are going to actually view, how long your event is, and do some calculations. That's where a guy like me comes in to get you square with that. And then you stream it to your website. So instead of Facebook getting all the traffic, your website will get the traffic. Mm. Or you can cross stream or multi-stream and stream it to Facebook and also to your website. So hopefully that gives an idea of where it goes. Your website, social media channels, they become ABC, CBS, and then NBC.
There you go. So, okay. Gotcha. So, I mean, this sounds pretty cool, but I mean, if I'm a business owner, I'm sitting here thinking, wow, that's cool. Number one, though, it sounds expensive, right? There are some people that think expensive when they hear stuff like this. Mm-hmm. I mean, and why should I, if I'm a business owner, why should I do this or any other organization for that matter?
Exactly. I say that to a business owner organization, the main reason I think live streaming is great for your organization or business is that you broaden your reach. Mm. Meaning that, let's say you have an event and you only have the capacity in the room to put 200 people in pre-COVID. Mm-hmm. So if you have another outlet for that same event and you get, I say, in my eyes, five more people is five more eyes on your organization or business. So it broadens your reach. It also cuts down on some funds, some money. It cuts down on your budget a little bit. Think about this. If you are in a business where your sales reps have to travel to conferences, well, if they could do that travel virtually, you cut down on travel costs, hotels, per diem, everything from a business standpoint. So that's one good example of how that helps businesses. Also in training, you know, you have businesses that have several offices around the country, and instead of bringing those people in, you could train them live, and then that live broadcast could be archived so that if somebody missed a live broadcast, they can go back in and get their training in. So I think it's very essential for businesses. And I think nowadays with COVID, businesses have saw that, have seen that live streaming, they're looking at it a different way. Mm-hmm. Before this, I really had to sell it. I mean, I still I have to sell it, but it's now they see that, okay, if we can't move about, how can we get that information to where we need to get it to? So that's what I say, that it's engagement, broadening your reach, saves you money. And I think it's just it's a sign of the times, I think. It's just going mm-hmm. that way. Internet's getting better. And so that's where I think it lies.
Folks, we're here chatting with Kevin Hill. And Kevin is the president, owner of Agigo Communications. Now, Kevin, you mentioned COVID-19. That's the elephant in everyone's room, right? So talk about how that's affected your business. I mean, you mentioned that you're not maybe having to explain the value proposition quite as much as you had before. People get it a little more. How has that affected your business?
It has been, I'm not going to say I'm killing it, but it's been, you know, decent. With the value proposition, you still have to explain that to people, because though before they kind of knew it was out there, like you said earlier with the question earlier about, you know, it sounds expensive.
Right.
I wouldn't say it's expensive, but it's not cheap either. I mean, you can't, you know, do one of these live streams and you have, you know, either a virtual live stream or either in person where you have a certain amount of crew. That stuff is kind of fixed cost. I mean, you have to pay for camera guys, camera equipment, all of that stuff. So it all works in there. But I think that when COVID first hit, it was kind of everybody kind of stopped. It's kind of like, you know, I equate it to my household. I had to sit back and think, okay, if I don't go back to work, I'm going to have to regulate my budget. And I think when it first hit, companies, you know, they had to stop conferences. Mm-hmm. So they, you know, they lost money on that. So it took them a moment to kind of pick up, because they're trying to figure out, okay, where can I put my money at that's going to give me the best bang?
Right.
Also, businesses as well as people were trying to think, should I just hold off for a minute? Let's see what's going to happen here. Right. And, you know, I think that's what happened. And then as we got into a month of COVID, you know, being kind of locked down there, we started getting calls for doing virtual events. Mm. And virtual events are, if you can't actually gather with people, then you can use software like a Zoom, a Skype, a WebEx to connect people in different, who are not in the same room, connect those on those platforms, and then you can live stream that to the people who need to see it. So let's say it's a business that is giving that has a new product coming out. They want to talk about that product because it's coming out. You know, they'd normally be at a conference face to face with people coming by. But this way you could set up a live stream, have your sales guy in his house because everybody was at home.
Yep.
Sales guy, the president, and then, you know, sales guy is demonstrating the product. All that can be done virtually. So like I said, beginning it was slow. It picked up in the middle. And now that everybody's kind of, we're getting to this, we're in July. So really, in my business, no business really happens in July. It's kind of a slow month. Everybody's on vacation. Right. You know, I think that's true for everybody.
Sure.
And so now everybody's kind of reconfiguring, seeing where the numbers are for COVID and seeing what they actually can do. So I think the later part of the year, I have some events scheduled later in the year, hoping that they will go off depending on, like I said, what happens with the country in this pandemic.
Yeah, sure. I got about four questions and I need to just let one hit my tongue. How about that? Cause I'm really interested in what you're doing. Cause I've noticed you've got some great work out there and you're obviously doing great work for businesses, but you also, when you say you do work for organizations, you do work for nonprofits, for churches, correct? I mean, talk about the kind of clients that you work with generally.
Generally, my clients are, it runs a gambit. I tried to kind of keep it in one sector, but, you know, when people call, I'm just like, oh, yeah, I'd like to do that. So I'm open to anything. Mm-hmm. But my clients are churches, especially in the consulting realm, because with COVID, people, once they figure out how much it costs, and I'm not saying it's a huge cost, but some people just can't afford that. Churches or nonprofits are all the same. So what you do is I go in and consult with them, kind of get them up to speed, tell them what kind of equipment they need, what the general rules and practices are for the organization. Go in there and talk to them about that, get the equipment for them, set the equipment up and train. So that has been with churches, chamber of commerce, anybody who wants to kind of set up their own kind of network. Mm. Whereas when we get back to normal, my clients were business clients with product announcements, educational entities with educational entities that have like continuing education. Mm. I have a couple of government clients that we do offsite task force meetings or meetings in the public where transparency in government is, you know, at the forefront. And so they're trying to make sure that, you know, they have their ducks in a row and that people can actually tune in and comment on certain things that the governments are doing. Mm. So it runs the gambit. I would say that, you know, right now in COVID, it is government and church from the consultant side, the churches and organizations that way.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And let's be clear. I mean, your business is no different than any other. I mean, we talk about people's perceptions about things being expensive, but it really depends on the amount of depth that you want to go into. And you've got a whole panoply of services that you offer and options for people with a lot of different budgets.
Exactly. Yeah. It can run the gambit from, I need a pay-per-view. I want to try to recoup my losses with a pay-per-view wall. So that will add some costs, but it also, you know, you can recoup some of the costs with that and mm-hmm. I can set that up. Mm-hmm. I mean, I go from some of my churches who I consult with, they will have, hey, we only have $800 to spend for a camera. Now, an $800 camera is okay, but I'm on a, you know, $3,000, $4,000 camera that, you know, the picture's going to look way better. Mm. So, you know, you kind of craft a budget, and most people don't like to tell you what the budget is, but I try to kind of get a roundabout kind of, you know, inconspicuous, what is your budget? Sure. And then I can work it around. I can make anything work. You know, I would say that price-wise, anywhere from $1,000 at the low end, and that's depending on cameras and what you got, it can go up to $20,000, $30,000, depending on what you're doing, how many days you're doing it for and stuff like that. So I just think that in relations to price, you kind of get what you pay for also too, because you could pay somebody less than a person like myself who doesn't understand, okay, I need to test live stream the internet where I'm at. That mm-hmm. is the most critical point. And if you get somebody who comes out on live streams and they don't do a test days, weeks beforehand on where you're going to be at, you're going to have problems. That's your backbone. So I just tell people you get what you pay for, just like anything. You can either get a Big Mac or you can get a cheeseburger. They're going to have different flavors, different levels. And I'm definitely the Big Mac.
I don't know. I kind of heard you were the filet mignon. That's what I heard. But anyway.
I'm for the common man, so I won't go to chops yet.
There you go. Okay. Kevin Hill's with us, folks. He's with Gigo Communications. Kevin, let's get elementary again, because there's some folks that may not know the difference between a live stream and video conference. What's my trade-off there? in picking between those two?
I would say that in a video conference, everybody's used those for work, where it is a closed group of people talking about a subject. And that is, it's kind of, you're stacked against you because you only have a certain number of seats you can have most of the time. And like I said, you have folks who are involved in that topic. Whereas live streaming is, you take an event and you take that event to the masses. So whereas a conference inside of a video conference inside of a company may be just proprietary and just for them, a live stream would be okay. We want that information that goes out to the public to go out. You can also say that a video conferencing, nowadays with COVID, you have churches who meet on Zoom and they do their Zoom meetings there. You also have team members who maybe half of the team members meeting is private, but then they want to open it up. Mm. So live streaming gives that. And one thing is that live streaming in a Zoom call, I've seen people do Zoom calls with the public. You know, they may have their main presenters and have the public there. Well, depending on how you set that up, and that's Zoom, Skype, whatever, you may lose control of your meeting, which I know you heard of stories when this first all happened of people getting hacked and stuff. Yep. Where they finally figured out what settings they need to have set. Whereas a live stream, you have total control. You have control of what is being streamed out and nobody can mess with it. So I like to say that. And then that also leads us to what that virtual event is a combination of the two, where you take, like I go back to with that team member one, where it may be a company that has a team member one at first. And then after they get done with their team member conference, they want to open up the news of the day for the company to their prospective clients and audience. So then that way they would take that video conferencing and then incorporate that into a live stream. So hopefully that gives you a more grasp of, you know, video conferencing is us all together as a team, and live streaming is me sending my message out to the masses.
And those two come together in virtual events. That's what you're saying. Okay.
And that's what most people are doing now, because it you know, you can't gather. So a lot of people are having virtual events. And also in virtual events, you can have tape pieces. Say somebody couldn't make it for that particular time, and you could have that person tape their message, their presentation, and incorporate that into a live stream. So it's an event. So you can pull it from everywhere. It's kind of like a newscast. Mm-hmm. You have people who are live on the scene, and then you have packages that were done probably earlier that day or the day before that you incorporate in as content for your audience.
Speaking of newscast, I want to shift gears here just a little bit and let you talk a little bit about yourself, because you come out of television news. So that's your background as a career. Talk a little bit about your journey and what got you ultimately into live streaming.
Yeah, definitely. When I went to college to be an accountant. I'm from Kansas, and we had a guy come down from Atlanta. He was a videographer from Atlanta, worked at WSB TV. And he was like, oh, I've been to the World Series. I've been to the Super Bowl. I've been shot at. I was a news junkie back in the day when I was in high school. That whole Wayne Williams trial was, you know, that was in the forefront. And so I was like, he had me there. It was like, okay, you're not sitting in a desk counting numbers. You're actually out amongst the people. So I changed my major then. And so, you know, got a job after college, moved around from Kansas, North Carolina to Atlanta, landed here at WSB TV, where I was a videographer. We also ran satellite truck and microwave truck. Oh, wow. So I had a whole bunch of, and if anybody knows WSB, they work you. So you have to know a lot of stuff. You're multitasking from the time you start working. So I'll be the videographer, the audio guy, the lighting guy, the satellite technician, and the editor. So all those six jobs I'm doing in a time, and usually that's in the time frame of like 2 hours to get all this stuff together.
Oh, so wow.
they Yeah, yeah. Once you finish a story, you got about 2 hours to get it together, to get it on, depending on when it happens. Sometimes it's been less than that. Mm. But that kind of gave me that that drive to figure out things. And so once I started my video production company, Agigo, I started that in 2005. I was doing a lot of corporate events, a lot of SMT, satellite media tours, where you'd have a person on set talking about a product or an organization. And what would happen is some of the stakeholders or the decision makers couldn't make it to the set or on location. And this was my first hand at live stream. I think it was about 2007. Mm. We used live stream and we also used Ustream, but we brought those decision makers in so they could see what's going on the set. And they could then say, hey, say this, don't say that, move the flower over 2 inches, whatever, they could see it. So that interests me so much that I started researching live streaming, going to conferences. And I just, like I said, I love the fact that I can give anybody presence and I can give them a platform for their product, service, whatever it is. And so the whole process of figuring out, okay, the back end of it, I love. The front end of it, I love too. It's just two separate things. It kind of lends itself to how I was, you know, in my professional career, how I progressed in the career.
Sure.
So that's, and so in 2011, I just said, I'm going all in on live streaming and been doing it ever since then.
So you've been in live streaming specifically since 2011.
Exactly.
Wow. Yep.
Gearing my company more out of the video production realm and then mm-hmm. more to the live streaming production. You know, I love video production. I love it. Mm-hmm. But the one thing I hate is the editing process.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Especially when you're editing for a corporate entity, there's never one guy or one young lady who says, I have final say on what's going on. So you have, you know,
right.
I'd be at a event and have five people over my shoulder. One person doesn't like the word that was in the track. And one person doesn't like this picture. But when we looked at it before, they were all fine with it. So I was like, let me do live streaming. Because once it's out there, it's out there. There is no editing to be done. I'm finished. It is there. So that's one of the loves that I like is that, you know, it is truly a television like station type deal.
I love it. Kevin Hill, folks, Agigo Communications. Kevin, I mean, I know one of the answers to this question right now, because you just talked about it, which is experience that you have in this business. But what do you think distinguishes you from other live streaming providers?
Honestly, I think it is that experience that I bring to it. And that experience is that I'm looking at from the viewer side. Mm. And, you know, I have to take what the corporation and organization business wants. And then I have to meld that into where the audience will get value, be interested, and give information. So I think that part I do very well because of that whole I've been a communicator all my life. And so I think that is where my strength is that at the point of contact, I am trying to communicate your idea in a way that the audience will accept it and understand it.
So the future, what does that look like for live streaming? Where are we going? I assume you see this this medium getting adopted by more businesses and organizations out there.
Yes, it is. It's a whole new world for everyone. And like I said earlier with the traveling, I think that live streaming, you'll see we'll put it this way. Businesses, when they find that they can still do what they need to do with less, they kind of stay that way. I mean, it goes for if they lay off some folks and they find out, it didn't mess up any productivity, they kind of don't really hire folks back. Mm. And so I think that in a realm of traveling for business, that definitely, I think, will be picked up more for live streaming because you can save that money and still get the information. I think the only thing that you miss out on is networking. But with sites like LinkedIn and other sites, you kind of can get over that. Trust me, there is no substitute for being in a room. I was about to say shaking someone's hands, but you know, giving them a high five or elbow bump nowadays, there's no question that that is valuable, that you get to speak to them, talk to them, and as I say, see where they're coming from.
Right.
But live streaming definitely in the future will, it is going to be a staple now. Like I said before, I was trying to sell it. Now it's like, okay, we know what it is now. Mm-hmm. Now let's use it to its fullest. Even with organizations, you know, if you don't, you know, sometimes organizations have a hard time getting people together in person anyway. Mm. Well, now you have this tool that you can get people together where they're at. And also it's always can be archived so that it can be replayed later. If you miss a live meeting, you missed a live meeting. You got to ask a buddy or see if you can get some synopsis of what happened. But sure. At least this way, you can go back, archive it, and then it's there so people can actually consume the information. So I think live streaming has nowhere but to go up. It'll get adopted in more and more situations. It is just, I like the way the field is going. And I would like to say this, that gaming in the live streaming industry has kind of been the catalyst for live streaming, because gaming, as you know, is a billion-dollar business now. Mm. And you know, you used to think your kids in there playing video games and they're wasting their time. Well, you know, nowadays they may be making some huge cash from sponsorships, and that industry has really pushed or propelled live streaming even before COVID happened. I like to look at that industry and see that how, you know, there's new products coming out every day. And that's one thing about COVID. When it hit, you couldn't find any of the equipment that you need because everybody snapped it up.
Right.
They realized that they needed this equipment. So you got equipment that you are essential for live streaming that is back ordered. Mm. So like when I consult with folks, I'm like, okay, this is what you need. Now we have to hunt and find it and figure out where it's at, because half of this stuff is on back order because everybody, I bet right now, if you did a search, you couldn't find a webcam to save your life.
Yeah.
That is in stock.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So the future is nothing but bright, and it'll be interesting to see where it goes from here.
Well, folks, if you want to be part of that future, Kevin Hill's the man to call. So Kevin, we got to let everybody know how they can get in touch with you if they're interested in live streaming.
Exactly. You can call us at 678-457-1259. We're also on LinkedIn. I am personally there at Kevin Hill. Live streaming is my handle on LinkedIn. We also have a Giggle page on LinkedIn, so you can just search for that at Giggle Communications. It'll pull up. Also on all social medias, a Giggle Communication is their handle is a Giggle.com. So it's that easy. You can catch me there. You can also go to my website, a Giggle Communications, .com, and that's IGIGO Communications with an S.com. And there's a contact form there, and you can get with me that way. So anyway, we're available. We're happy to do all events, virtual, in person. We practice social distancing. We disinfect all of our equipment, our microphones. We have cover. So we're very aware of what we're in now. And we just want to make sure everybody's safely getting your information out.
Kevin Hill with a Giggle Communications. Kevin, thank you so much for being with us.
I appreciate you, Don. Thank you for having me on your show.
It's been a great
pleasure. Stay safe.
Oh, yeah. You too, pal. It's been a pleasure. Folks, if you've got some headaches that involve administrative tasks, maybe you've got some bookkeeping problems, you've got a whole shoebox full of receipts, well, I've got an answer for you in terms of getting those tasks that you don't really want to do outsourced. And that is to call Essie Escobedo, and she's the chief executive angel over at Office Angels. And she's got a whole team of angels that work virtually. They've been doing it for 18 years, so they understand how to work in a COVID-19 environment. She sends an angel to fly in, get the job done, and fly back out. They work on an ongoing or as-needed basis. And all you need to do is really call Essie at 770-442-9246, explain your problem, and she'll help you out. OfficeAngels.us is the website, and they're terrific. I can endorse them myself because I use Essie's services. So check her out. She's awesome. Folks, just a quick reminder before we wrap up here that we are on all the major podcast platforms. You name it, we're on it. So whether that's Apple or Google or Spotify, what have you, we're on them. Search North Fulton Business Radio and you'll find the show. We love it if you'd subscribe and give us a great review because it helps folks find the shows that feature great business leaders like Kevin and help get the word out on the good work they do. We're also on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter, North Fulton BRX. So for my guest, Kevin Hill, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.